Hello, and welcome to episode 87 of Thaisy Books, news and views about Thaisy literature from the world over. I'm your host, Jenny Butt. Thank you for tuning in. Today, in the Thaisy Reads segment, we have Raina Shirali reading from her poetry collection, Summonings. Raina Shirali is the author of two collections of poetry. Her first book, Guilt, won the 2018 Milt Kessler Poetry Book Award, and her second, Summonings, won the 2021 Hudson Prize. Winner of a Pushcart Prize and a former Philip Roth resident at Bucknell University, Shirali is also the recipient of prizes and honors from Vida, Gulf Coast, Boston Review, and Cosmonauts Avenue. Formerly a co-editor-in-chief of Muzzle magazine, Shirali now serves as faculty advisor for Folio, a literary magazine dedicated to publishing works by undergraduate students at the national level. She holds an MFA in poetry from The Ohio State University and is an assistant professor of English at Holy Family University. The Indian American poet was raised in Charleston, South Carolina, and now lives in Philadelphia. Indebted to the docu-poetics tradition, Summonings investigates the ongoing practice of witch or Dayan hunting in India, specifically in Jharkhand and in the migrant Adivasi communities of tea plantations in West Bengal, though the phenomenon has also been documented in Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh, and Bihar. Shirali accommodates the imagined while also honoring the actual by carving out physical space in her text for anthropological research and quotes from survivors. Her work interrogates the political implications and shortcomings of writing the subaltern persona while acknowledging the author's westernized positionality. Continuing to explore multinational and intersectional concerns around identity raised in her debut collection, Shirali asks how first and second generation immigrants reconcile the self with the lineages that shape it, wondering aloud about those lineages' relationships to misogyny and violence. These precarious poems explore how antiquated in existing norms surrounding female mysticism in India and America inform each culture's treatment of women. Summonings is a comment on power and patriarchy, on authorial privilege and the shifting role of witness, and ultimately on an ethical poetics grounded in the inevitable failure to embody the other. On a personal note, Shirali's entire premise here is incredibly fascinating to me as a fiction writer and instructor. I focus on historical fiction and magical realism, and I so appreciate that she is upfront about her westernized perspective and privilege when writing about the subaltern. Some writers talk the talk about empathy while writing the other, and still, to me, their writing about the subaltern comes off as exploitative, especially when we see how those books are then marketed to us readers. Let's call this the slumdog millionaire discourse that we so need to have about those books. Quite frankly, there are American dirt. We're just not talking about them in that way yet. And it's along the lines of, but not quite the same thing as, mango discourse, which I wrote about in 2021 and will link in the transcript to this episode. And now, here's Raina Shirali. The transcript of some of the excerpts is also up on the Desi Books website.
To situate the excerpt I'll read today, I'd like to open with a quote from the anthropological research, which constitutes the back matter of this book. The first poem I'll read, which is called At First, Trying to Reach Those Accused, directs readers to this particular section of the notes. Quote, faced with poor wages and the associated dismal living and working conditions that accompany a suppressed working class, the Adivasi workers connect the micro, village-level strain of ailments to witchcraft, rather than blaming the deaths on lack of proper medical aid for the workers. Forces noted as having influenced this culture of accusation include land disputes, anti-colonial tensions, fear and suspicion of women's sexuality, and, more broadly, gender conflicts legitimized by religion, folklore, and patriarchal customs. End quote. Each of these poems engages with those factors that engender a culture of accusation, which of course results in women being accused of witches. But these poems also portray an author thinking critically about what it means to write into a subject so far from her personal experience. At first, trying to reach those accused. I swallowed burnt matchsticks, her hair a tar tumbleweed in the room's south-facing corner. I did this to pray, and I did this to feel. And then I swallowed my old chant. His name, like I'm not made of my oppressor's undoing. And then I swallowed theory. I swallowed plantation politics, tried prying plantains from my lips, plump from sitting on a velvet couch and touching them dry to my wrists while reading about her body. Strung up for slaughter, called names in the oppressor's language, covered in silt. And then I swallowed puddles. And then I swallowed sandalwood and tried to cloak and cover and render her erotic, for the oppressor sometimes saves the objects of his desire. And then I swallowed desire. I held the smoldering cow dung patty at my core. I smelled like it. I was shit and wanted to be shit. And then I swallowed pretense, swallowed countries. Why try to get close when you could become, I said. And then I swallowed myself, chased me down with goat milk and shorn fur. And then I turned to the page and swallowed it, and I took it like a shot, and took it like a man, and took the punches and still wandered through mazes of huts, asking my people what it felt like to be oppressed. And then I swallowed tea. I swallowed the fertilized soil. And then I swallowed braids and locust shells, and I wanted to smell like incense because the oppressor values patchouli and cedar, so I bought a candle to smell like my heritage. And then I swallowed wax and was viscous, and suddenly, then, I could not move. And my ankles were bound, but they left my wrists free. And I could not speak, but still I mouthed a name I'd never heard, and I felt her like my own ghost. There was no magic. It was not profound. On projection. The gun to my head is ownership. The gun to my head is, I'm taking the word empathy and hanging it as on a laundry line. And watching it waver in wind, and not believing in words, and also relying on them. Reader, men and women alike shudder themselves with superstition. Supposing I board the plane, remain suspended, some sort of cloud, buoyant, detached, for one full day, followed by my arrival in a place not of my mother's dialect, not of my father's kin, armed with language, patrilineal, marangburu, flower feast, nage era. How surely I'd arrive with detriments, visible tattoos, hair dyed lighter at the ends, English a target pinned to the chest, the West the inescapable truth of my birth. To explain the distance between self and subject is to admit the unlikelihood of myself understanding a given subject. I'm talking theorizing understanding. I'm talking my inevitable failure to embody. Reader, consider the basic elements of this narrative. Dayan, Oja, hunted, godly. Assume telling any story fully involves considering all sides. Here, men wield village secrets like weapons, catapult accusations through the fields. I've read so much about legs and backs, ache-laden and no choice but to eat paye daily, and yet, I'm just camera. I'm shutter, closed, I'm protected from light. I'm just telling a story to which I'll never know an end. No boarding the plane, no bitter root, no lean season, no poem. Before plantations, women rustle the brush together. Cloth slings bursting with nuts and berries, wound around a length of bamboo. Here, Dayan's forage are but women. They sit together, feet dangling over roadside ditches, sharing stories of men who stand almost too tall, craning their necks skyward as if to project a peacock's air. Male bird, all preen and chosen. There are warnings of villagers who make shadows broad as buildings. What did it mean to sit alone or in groups? A woman lights a candle and my imagination is a failure. Or a woman sits alone, cheeks red with sweat, and the color red doesn't signal. There are solitudes I don't have to interpret, no metaphor for her joy. And if I am aligned with anyone, anyone in Jharkhand, how can I say it's not with men, shaded safely at a distance, making observations? Here, the art of taking note. Lucky inhabitant. Failing to conjure even distant relatives, I know not which women precede me. Believe all this pain is at least our own. On my lap, experts theorize. Witchcraft is no longer a personal matter. State plainly, the women had nails driven into their foreheads. And full up now with steel and scythes and a list of weapons wielded against us, am nauseous and taking it personally, though at least am not asked to detail my assault on television, holding my chin up for photographers, dubbed icon and simultaneously driven out of the nation. Yes, you might say this makes me one of the lucky inhabitants. Yes, here there are no jackfruit trees, but in a chamber the semicircle of men had red eyes the kind of eyes that saw no reason and were filled with cruelty, and somewhere online I am blamed for not remembering. Yes, gone now my willful ascension, the stairs, his room, and I don't fight back, know what fate awaits women who protest too much, no matter dialect or country, the question is the same, Ki Jani, they ask in the motherland, and who knows, here we throw up our hands and it isn't in prayer, there's blood in the soil, so they call it filth, blood on our legs, so they call us gone, they're not wrong, and they will not be fooled, won't take it back. It's night, and the jackfruit trees close in. There's chanting in the distance. Who owns this world?
You've been listening to episode 87 of Thesi Books. News and views about Desi literature from the world over. I'm your host, Jenny Bart. Thank you for tuning in. Today, in the Desi Reads segment, we had Reina Shirali reading from her poetry collection, Summonings. Episode 88 will be up shortly. Follow on Twitter, at Desi Books, Instagram, at Desi.books, Facebook at Desi Books FB. Tag the accounts if you have requests or suggestions. And please go to the website, desibooks.co, if you'd like to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. And please share this via social media to support the poet and help raise the tide of South Asian literature. Thank you. Stay healthy. Keep reading and write well.